107. I only know that because we just did the last episode.
Yes, so this is 107 of 139, titled The Gun. So
Season 6, Episode 3.
Aired 17 September. That was the last one. I don't know. Aired late in September 1990.
We'll I can find out. Let's see if it's just a week or not, because sometimes they cheat. I don't know why they would, but I have it right here. Under shows, I have a folder that's just MacGyver, and it goes right to the IMDb page. And then I just need to pull up Season 6, Episode 3, The Gun, October 1st, 1990.
Okay.
And the last one was 24 September, and Tough Boys was 17 September.
Okay. So I'll change that in my document.
Tough Boys and The Gun got you all confused, son.
Yes. So the summary is, when a cop is shot, a gun used to assassinate a presidential candidate years ago was found, leading investigators to accuse MacGyver's friend from the youth center of the crime.
You killed the presidential candidate 5 years before you were born, son.
Yes.
You're black, so you're guilty.
And according to IMDb, this was inspired by the murder of Rebecca Schaefer by a stalker.
Weird.
I don't quite understand how that is, unless he was... He bought a police surplus gun that had been used to kill someone else.
And he shot a cop? This has nothing to do with that.
No. But it's very similar to, oh, let's say this could have inspired the Academy Award-winning Crash.
Yeah.
Not the one about wound fucking. No. The one about racism.
James Bader, stick your broken femur in my pussy.
And I believe a TV series entitled The Gun, which seemed to be about the bad things that that guns do.
An hour-long TV series that was aired on that Weird Trio network after it had a short-lived... I think only two or three episodes aired like on ABC or whoever originally aired it.
Okay. So, we open on the shitty truck at the shitty Challenger Club while some broad drones on about the fucking ozone layer.
Yeah, and she's talking about how eventually radiation burns will kill your whole family unless you do this. And then we cut to Pete with the largest bag of junk mail I've ever seen.
Yes, he's droning on about junk mail and how evil it is.
I realized I become Pete.
It could better be used to heat homes.
Yeah, or how about just not cut down in the first place? How about that? All the wasted resources. How about we just build solar panels on people's houses? How about that?
We then find out that Mac is filling in for Breeze, who no-showed. He's the former gang leader from... two previous episodes of MacGyver that involved the shitty Challenger Club.
MacGyver, they're not believing this is my junk mail. It's all local rib establishments.
Yes. It turns out he was held up working late at the garage.
Held up or held up? No, just held up. Oh, okay. Okay, it's okay.
Yes. So meanwhile...
MacGyver's wearing the gayest shirt of all time. MacGyver's wearing Quagmire's bedspread as a shirt.
Okay. Meanwhile, cut to a junkie trading a revolver for some crack.
Yeah.
They seem to have mixed up crack with heroin.
Uh-huh. And then he's like, come on, that's got to be at least worth 10 nickels. So yes. 50 bucks worth of coke.
And of course, the eagle-eyed cop driving by hundreds of feet away sees it, screeches to a hop, and screeches to a stop, and then stops and chases them.
Yeah, no, he goes forward, goes back. It's kind of a shitty move. Yeah,
then gets shot.
He chases down the alley, gets shot down the gut, and then they all get away. Of course, it's the lamest cops ever.
Yes, the car chase ends in an accident. Breeze goes to help out this fellow person who had a car accident, but is then viewed as a suspect.
Yeah.
He then runs away and breaks back into the garage he just left, where he calls MacGyver desperately for help.
I'm in trouble. And the MacGyver shows up, and it's the weirdest thing ever. Just so white savior, and so, like, you can see it in Richard Dean Anderson, where he's like, I'm doing something important here.
Yes, just as one of the hoser cops is going for his gas grenade gun.
Yeah, get the tear gas.
One of which I was just playing with.
I love how, like, when MacGyver shows up, there's just two cops outside of a car. What's he doing here? Get back. And then he just walks forward. They're like, we can't do anything about that.
Yes, so Mac in his shitty truck gets there just in time. He says he's with the Phoenix Foundation and we'll get him out.
He doesn't have a gun.
Yes, which is what Mac yells. And then he gets him to come out. While the twangy guitar of regret plays, just before the saxophone of shame kicks in. Uh-huh. There's some very odd music cues in this episode as well.
Yeah, it's really bad.
So we then cut to, I think it's a press conference, where it turns out the bullet was from the same gun that was used to assassinate basically Robert Kennedy, who was running for president 20 years ago, killed by Sirhan Sirhan.
Yep.
Turns out it was a very unusual 7-shot odd caliber Czechoslovakian gun. There's no doubt they came from the same gun.
And then we cut to the TV that's watching it, which is what an arms manufacturer boss. So he's like calling his people to plant.
Yes, a white Jewish man who works at the dock is not happy and calls the gun factory.
Yeah, he is the 7 Jewish bankers all rolled into one.
Yes, he's a local Canadian actor. He is playing Mr. Zamora. He wants the gun added to his massive order of AK-47s and grenade launchers.
Don't you know what he's taking to the quote,
Middle East?
Oh, no, they want to use it not to prove. You know what that can be used as? That gun can be a symbol to inspire, to hope.
Oh, that does chaos. That comes out later. Oh, no, it does. Yes, it's a gun that changed the world. A holy relic.
Yeah,
symbolizes anarchy. And I say, dude, you are fucking crazy. It perhaps has curio value to someone who collects weapons of death. That's it.
Yeah.
It won't inspire shit.
No, like weirdo Nazi fetishist dudes would own this.
Yes. Who I know some of and work with others.
Oh, lovely.
Well, because old army enthusiasts tend to have Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, I like that, where they're like, I hate Nazis, now I have their plates and I shit on them.
And I just toured a local museum today with lots of Nazi memorabilia that they captured in Italy.
And then like at 3 p.m. every day, people come by and just stomp on it.
No. So the gun guy says he'll just bail the kid out. Sure, Zamora is crazy, but he feeds guns to the Middle East.
And I'm so glad that Pete got to use the internet before he died.
Which is the only shot, the only thing that's keeping him afloat.
Yeah, the shot of MacGyver and Pete using a computer and looking at newspaper clippings is so great.
And of course, the gun, a rare Czech 7-shot revolver, was sold by the police at auction after the trial. It was bought by Philip Orwell and then stolen a few weeks later in a robbery. It was used in a drive-by shooting 7 years later, where it killed a woman and then sold again in auction, this time bought by Martin Jenkins.
And then we cut to a suburban home.
Oh, but Pete's suggestion to MacGyver on how to find Martin Jenkins? Look in a phone book.
After being on the internet, which is great.
Yes. Well, it's probably like a LexisNexis-style news search.
Okay, yeah. They're pulling these really horrible documents. We cut to a suburban home. It's basically a scene out of Parenthood meets Traffic.
Yes, and Breeze doesn't know anything about killing a cop. Or no, sorry, this is the junkie. The junkie kid is being confronted by his sister.
I thought it was his mom.
No, sister.
Oh, she's really old to be his sister.
Yes, well, older sister. He says he was hurting. He needed to get straight, but he took the wrong gun. He took the one worth a fortune.
He'll only give me three bags of crack.
Yes, because they don't know what crack is. They thought it was heroin.
I love seeing MacGyver sitting in Pete's chair, too, by the way. It's a really weird power move.
Yes, so we're back at the Phoenix Foundation. Mac has found out the gun was sold, but the widow doesn't know to who. Mac finds out that Breeze
has already...
Now that
you're blind, Pete, I'm going to take your position.
Yeah. Mac finds out that Breeze has already been bailed out by the sleazy lawyer. He finds out that it was the Maddox Gun Company that bailed him out. So Mac goes over there in his shitty truck.
Yep. What are you bailing this kid out for?
Yeah. So Mac social engineers his way onto the production floor, which, of course, you can just do at a gun factory, where he sees Breeze being offered $1,000 for the gun or whoever has it. Mac kind of rescues him. And Mac goes on to a very libtard speech about there being enough guns.
Aren't there, like, enough guns in the world, man?
And he supplies the demand. But it's in the Constitution. Mac reveals himself as one of those.
Yeah, for muskets.
Yes. Who doesn't like babies, cops, housewives, and presidential candidates being shot? Yes, so if you actually... this
Angry MacGyver, he full-on yells at him, "No, you don't understand!"
If you read the U.S. Second Amendment, it says that the right to own a gun shall not be abridged. And then it goes on to a separate clause saying we will also not infringe on well-organized state-run militias. It's not that you're allowed to have guns in regulated state-run militias. It's we're not allowed to infringe your right to have guns or infringe on your ability to have state-run militias. It's not an and statement. It's an or statement.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yes. So that's why if you want to get rid of guns in the United States, you need to repeal the Second Amendment, which you will never get done. So stop complaining, stop bitching, and just arm yourself.
I have no complaint about it at all. I don't carry a gun, never fired a gun. And if there's an apocalypse, I probably will be able to find one, and I'll probably be a pretty good shot. But until then,
I have shot a gun this morning, which I probably have to stop doing since I'm going to be on an airplane in a week.
Yeah, you don't want any gunpowder residue on your body or your person.
But I can tell them who I am and, I don't know, maybe only get the medium-sized anal probe.
I once ate dinner with Ben Affleck, motherfucker!
Yes. Mac says that as Breeze doesn't have the gun, they'll be leaving while the sexy saxophone curiously plays.
Meow, meow. Hey, I got a hotel room for you, Breeze. I know your mom's been out of town for a while.
So Mac knows that Breeze knows. He'll take his chance. He ain't no snitch.
I love how they mix up like gang member, like couture. Like when they have this bad guy show up, the guy actually shot the cop, and he's wearing like a full on Mexican gang member hat, hairnet. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's the drug dealer, the black drug dealer later.
Yeah, he just doesn't even know. Like he's just waiting to his turn to talk when he's talking to his white buddy with the ponytail with the shaky hand. Who's come on, man? Come on, we gotta get out of here, man.
Yeah, so Mac says that life isn't fair. Mac reveals the history of the gun, says that it was, and then Breeze admits that it was Rudy Gibbs, a pusher. They got sent to camp together, which is where he got all into the saving the environment and planet shit. The green grass and air did it for him.
I thought Breeze was the guy that was running the crack empire in the first Challengers Club Cuba episode. I'm pretty sure.
I think he might have been.
I'm pretty sure he's the guy that had his trunk open.
This is his third episode.
Yeah, has the trunk at nighttime. He's like, I don't want this, man. He's like, this is the only way to do it, man. You gotta get strapped.
Yes, and this is where I comment that it's a really weird fucking episode. but we find out that Rudy was too crippled from the pavement in the ghetto to change. Yep. So he's, yes.
And he hid the gun out in a junkyard.
Well, we then cut to the dealer finding out the gun is worth something, but he says he threw it down a sewer, and this is where he's wearing a hairnet.
Yeah.
White pusher partner is going to go to try to find it.
Yep, and then meanwhile, sister and brother are looking onward to see what's going on.
Yeah, crackhead sister is trying to get him to come home, but he's high on crack and trying to get the gun back.
Man, she's wearing the outfit of somebody who's like, I'm trying to leave the 1980s.
Yes, in her 1960s car.
Yeah,
so Max sees the crackhead sister and goes to investigate. The crackhead follows the black pusher. Bree sees the pusher in the wrecking yard, who is leading the crackhead to the gun. Crackhead manages to shoot the pusher while struggling for the gun. Breeze runs after him, but gets knocked down gets knocked out with the cleaner to a with an air cleaner cage holder for the top of a carburetor.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is when the twangy guitar plays. So Rudy the pusher says he got the gun and then dies. So this is now victim number 4 or 5 of the gun. Yes. Back to the Phoenix Foundation. Pete is on the phone and Mac is messing with the computer. Mac is looking for the girl in the car he saw at the wrecking yard. He thinks he recognizes it. Turns out her father was Frank Fowler, who had some connection to Harrison, basically Senator Kennedy, who was shot and killed.
Yeah.
So Crackhead is now calling the gun dealer, says he'll sell the gun for $50,000. Mac shows up with Breeze at the house, at the crackhead house. The crackhead tells his sister he isn't there.
Yeah. Tell him I'm not here. And then they basically are telling her what's going on while he eavesdrops in the other room.
Yes. And it turns out the color display now exists in MacGyverville.
Oh, wow.
So Maddox has them track down the number from where he called. He calls the gun buyer to say he has the gun. Well, maybe you're speaking a little too quick there. Say you have a line on the gun. Don't say you have the gun. Don't lie to people who buy billions of dollars in weapons.
Probably a good idea.
Yes.
I can get the gun, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Crackhead is listening to MacGyver, Breeze, and his sister talk. Breeze needs a witness so he doesn't fry. He then knocks a painting off the wall, as you do.
Of course.
And runs out.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the father was obsessed with the gun. He thought it was cursed, like the other ones. He was guarding them. As long as he could see them, he knew nothing could happen.
That makes sense-ish.
Or you could just destroy the guns.
Yeah, you melt them down.
Yeah, he was collecting it because it was curiosity of death.
Yeah.
And I can tell you for a fact, no one runs as fast as a crackhead, except for a crackhead on fire. And I know both of those for a fact. No one runs faster than a crackhead unless it's a crackhead on fire.
All right.
So the sister is now. So MacGyver then comes back, not being able to find the crackhead, and the sister is being held at gunpoint by the Maddox henchmen.
Didn't you guys each play a bad guy in a previous episode? I don't know, man. Probably.
Yeah. Or aren't you my stuntman? And they're all taken hostage back to the factory.
Weren't you searching for the lost treasure of Atlantis? No. You're the first prototypical Murdoch. That's who you were. Okay.
And Zamora isn't happy. The brother has the gun, but he ran away. Then he calls. He's going to bring the gun to Pier 9. But Zamora can be identified. So, of course, they're going to have to kill everyone involved.
King of all Jews is doing that thing where he presses both of his hands together. Very good. Very good. Like he's praying, but not praying. This is how rich men stand.
And then we cut to Pete being very worried at work.
My God, he is doing that rich man stand for a really long time.
We then cut to a very well-lit interior of a steel shipping container. Mac finds some grenade rounds and firearms with laser scopes, which he takes apart. Pete goes to the crackhead house. And then... God. Oh, and if you notice, he's completely being strangled by the shoulder belt.
Yeah. It's totally on, just full on, just slicing into his neck.
Yes.
I have to take a picture of that. I hate you. We're making me take another picture.
Yes. Crackhead gets the gun, and Pete follows him in his Corsica, which, as anyone remembers, is a shitty man's Beretta.
It's cutting off his neck from both angles.
Yes. So we then cut to the dock, and here's where I'll point out, the writers have no idea what a shipping container is like. They think they have holes in the side, and then holes in the top where cables come down and are slung inside through the top corners.
That's not how
things work. They're watertight.
Yeah, you fucking idiots.
Yes. Crackhead and Pete now arrive at the dock. At the dock, Crackhead is knocked out, and the cargo container is slung and loaded. It's being loaded into the ship. Mac uses the explosives from the grenades and the wires from the laser scopes to blow out the two slings from the door side. And they've strapped themselves to the end of the upper end of the container so they don't fall to their death. So Pete knocks out a henchman with a single punch, and then questions the Crackhead.
I learned this from MacGyver. My hand's going to hurt for a while.
Yes. The Harrison gun is presented to Zamora on the deck of the boat. Just as Mac blows the charges, everything falls out of the shipping container, which then crushes Maddox and Zamora with all the guns that fell out of the cargo container.
Karma's a bitch, man.
Ironically, they were killed by guns falling on them. We then cut to Pete talking about the gun destruction program, which sometimes destroys very valuable and rare guns, which would only go to collectors.
Yeah.
Crime guns don't need to be 100% recycled, because sometimes the crime can just be someone owned a gun that they shouldn't have. Not that they were necessarily using it to blow away a mother in a drive-by.
Yeah, and if your dog bites somebody, we should kill you, and I should get your dog.
Yes. Or throw your dog into a giant fire.
Nope. All a dog that has an attitude needs is a man who can handle it.
So Breeze gets to make a little speech, and then Crackhead's sister gets up to destroy the Harrison gun. As Max says, there are only 100 million to go.
There's like 400 now, motherfucker. Good job, you fucking pussy.
And then, well, wasn't that a subtle episode?
Yeah, it's a lot of forced politics. They're kind of dumb forced politics. They're really kind of insulting. It's like,
I do remember the political controversy of, I think the LAPD had recycled a gun 3 or 4 times, and it had been involved in 3 or 4 drug slayings or ghetto slayings.
Well, that's dirty cops selling guns.
No, that was the police selling guns that they had seized.
Oh.
And they just kept basically recycling them.
Well, you don't recycle them by giving them to a gangbanger. It's like...
No, but they sell them to a guy, sell them to someone who sells them to drug dealers.
Well, they should be like, if we find a new home for your gun, it goes out to a farm. There's lots of land, only white people.
And I know we've had gun amnesties here where some very expensive collectible guns have been destroyed. Like, not ones that are going to be used in drug raids because they're too old. They're just guns that are worth like $10,000 getting burned down for no reason.
Yeah, to sell it, give the money to charity for like, okay, who was killing this thing? Okay, some inner city youth. What do they need? Their dad to stick around. Okay.
Well, they need more ammo.
Fleshlights for fathers with horrible wives.
Yes, so the lesson we learned, guns are bad. Okay. And next week, actually, in 2 weeks, it will be Blossom the Alcoholic.
Oh, she's back.
She's back for her final episode.
What's your problem now, Blossom? I like to drink. Aren't you 11?
She's drinking to...
forget?
Cover up for... Yes, she's drinking to forget.
I'm drinking to remember this. It's a little bit weird. People have never tried this before. I'm unique.
Yes, that might be one that my wife identifies with.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Last dude's going to die on vacation.
Don't you fucking say that.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm the worst. I hate that when people say it to me. Actually, by me saying it, that just made you live forever. I just made you immortal. Pay me. Bye.